Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get started then. We're in Romans chapter 1. We left off at verse 18. Okay, we left off at verse 18, but obviously we'll do a short recap. Verse 18, we'll pick up there though. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And before we go into the verses, let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to study again. As we continue in Romans, Lord, we just pray that the scriptures would be lifted off the pages into our hearts and minds, that it might be clear to us as you would have it to be. We pray for each one here, Lord. We pray that you would, again, just open our understanding as we read and believe your word. We pray for the body universal. We pray for those who have the rule and authority over us. Once again, we just go forward. We pray the word would have free course and they might be glorified. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Romans 1:18. Before we get into 18, I'll just go back and read when Paul said he longed to see the Romans to impart unto them some spiritual gift. That's in verse 11. 14, he said that he was a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we can see what Paul explains why he was a debtor with the gospel. He was a debtor because it was the power of God unto salvation. It was the righteousness of God. It was revealed in the gospel. And the grace of God was revealed in the gospel. You know, we looked at that where Paul knew how much grace he had received as one who was, as he said, injurious and a blasphemer and a persecutor. He realized what he received, the amount of grace that he had received. He realized that. And he was a debtor. He was obligated to give that, to share that grace with others. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to say this briefly. I'm just going to write some verses up here where Paul says in verse, let's see, in Galatians 2, he says it in Ephesians, 1 Timothy, or 2 Corinthians, where he says the gospel that was committed unto him. Hold your hand there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We just go through them real quick, just so you get an idea. When he talks about being a debtor, when he was confronted on Damascus Road by the Lord, and he said, "What would you have me to do?" We know that's when his course began, right? But before he could even be used, he had to believe who the Lord was. He had to exercise, you know, we said it last week, faith to faith. He had to realize that the object of his faith was Jesus Christ, who was Jehovah. He had to put that together. He had to believe when he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." His salvation moment was Damascus Road. Axe Road. That's on Damascus Road. That was his salvation moment. So he believes, and then the Lord says, "I want to show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. He's my chosen vessel. And at that moment, the Lord knew that he was depositing to Paul, I would say, the faith. He didn't get it all at one time, but he was giving, he knew that Paul was his chosen vessel to carry a message that God had kept secret. And he would unfold it to him. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this. First, he has to believe. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says this. Verse 9:15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that I, when I preach, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You see what he says? One thing that's consistent, grace, it frees you. It'll free you up. It doesn't put you on a performance. But Paul said this. He says, though I be free from all men, he says, I made myself what? Servant to all. He says, my glory is this, that I can preach this gospel without charge. Because of necessity, he said in verse 17, he says, if I do this, he says, a dispensation of the gospel. He said, a dispensation of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9. He said, it's what? Committed to me.
Is he the only one that can say that?
He's not the only one that can say that, but
okay. Can you know what? I'll say that.
You know what? Let's see. Let's see if anybody can say that. She said, "Can anybody else say that the gospel was committed to them?" So you see that what was committed to him?
The gospel.
The gospel. Okay. Say it again. There you go. That's the next one. 2 Corinthians 5:20, 19:20. What'd you say, Bob?
The gospel's committed to all of us. That's our responsibility.
Okay. Okay. We can hold that thought. That's her question. So hold that thought. Hold that answer. And then, so 2 Corinthians 5. Now, did the Lord make him do that? You know how you know the Lord didn't make him do it? Because on the Damascus Road, Paul said,
what would thou have me?
That's a surrender, right? Right? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. We're going to read there and we'll read down. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That sounds just like another wording for Acts 9, doesn't it? In 2 Corinthians 5, he's pretty much saying, what would thou have me to do? If he says, don't live for yourself after you realize the love of Christ and salvation, he says that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath what?
Committed
unto us what?
The word of reconciliation.
What's another source of synonym for the word of reconciliation?
Gospel.
Okay.
Gospel is the grace of God.
Same thing. All right. He says he committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Paul was committed the gospel after he believed, right? Second Corinthians, he says, not just me, but
all of you
are what? Ambassadors. That's a position. We said this before, you are an ambassador whether you know it or not. Whether you agree to function that way or not. Can you keep the ministry? Can you keep the gospel to yourself? Okay. Sharon said, you don't want to. Can you?
Yeah,
okay. You can. Just like Paul, he would say, woe to me if I what? Because he said, look, he says, if one died for all, then you know if from one dead person to another, when you go out, you know how you were before salvation, right? Well, here's the next person, he's in that same state. So if you're walking around with an answer, with a solution, and if you love that person, if you do, if you look at it and say, I hate to see you struggling like that, brother. Let me share something with you. And it's up to you to share it. It's not up to you about the response.
What? I'm just thinking about the word necessity. When he uses the word necessity, it's laid upon me.
The word what? Say
again. Necessity.
Necessity.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking the difference between, okay, debtor. The difference between, he was an apostle. We are ambassadors. So it's different positions, same message, but is there, like, Paul could not have walked away from it. We can be carnal, we can't, but it seems like Paul had a different mandate in terms of.
Oh, sure, he was, okay.
That's what I'm trying to be. That's what I'm
yeah.
trying to
be. Apostle by Jesus Christ. So it was like that's what was laid up for him. That was the plan that God had
right.
for his life.
Right.
But that was an appointment.
That was, see, you could, let's not, look. The apostle of grace, how can he be an apostle of grace if he didn't have a choice? You understand what I'm saying? Is if how can he say to us to yield ourselves as ones who are alive from the dead if he himself did not have a choice? How can he ask you to walk willingly if he didn't have that same opportunity to walk willingly? Like, okay, I'll use your where we talk. He wasn't a robot to God. Paul had, he can make choices along the way whether I would do this or I would serve him or not. That's why he can say, like Philippians 4, where Bob was saying, he says, I learned to submit along the way. I learned to be content with the information that God gives me, the instruction that he gives me. I've learned to depend on him. Not that he made me. I've learned to do this. I'm instructed, he said.
So the word necessity speaks to, as he understood this truth, how could I not do anything else?
That's it. Yeah. He was a debtor. He was. When I understand the power, see, the power of God, the salvation of God, the righteousness of God, is resident in the scripture, in the gospel. So when he receives this, he's telling the Romans, he says, look, I can't, the Lord is making me come to you.
No, he didn't say that.
So you say you have a choice much in the same way that we do.
Of course.
But okay, practically, if God came and told, you know, appeared to you and told you these things, are you going to say no?
That's, you know what? Jonah said no. He had a vision. And I understand what you're saying. An experience, this is, you know what? I like that. I like what he said, because Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. You have to look at scripture this way. Even though he's not physically appearing to me, asking me to do this or that, or not to do this or that, you have to give the word the same gravity as you would if he was sitting across from you talking to you. That's why he says it works effectually in you that believe. Not, he says, we are, thank God that when you receive the word which you received of us, that you received it not as what I'm saying to you, but as it really is, what? The word of God.
That effectually worketh in you.
That worketh
effectually
in you
that believe.
That believe.
So basically, here was this man who had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He had all this knowledge in him, but what he could not see through his own whatever was that Jesus was the Christ. And when he appeared, it was just like suddenly, boom, he realized, and it fit into everything he had been studying that he knew. And it was just like, oh.
Yeah.
You're it.
Okay,
and that's why he was so ready at that moment. What would you have me do? Because it just was that instantaneous of clicking in his mind. This was the truth, and he had all that underpinning, which is
scripture. He had. Yeah. So let me piggyback on that. Is the Paul's problem was that he didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God. The Son. When he says, see, when the Jews used, I'm going to leave that up there for a minute. When the Jews talked about being the son of whatever, the son of God or the son of Joseph, that they knew this, that means that you possess all the attributes of your father. So when he said that he was the son of God, they said, he says, what are you stoning me for? Why do you want to stone me? And he said, Jesus said, for a good work, we stone thee not. But because thou, being a man, makest thyself equal with God. Because you said, I am the son of God. So when that's what they knew, there was only one God, and he didn't have children like that. So when he said the Son of God, they knew exactly what he meant.
He was making himself equal.
He was, and Philippians said that he was already what? Equal with God. So, how the Jews knew that. Now, here's where, to get back to where we are, this is what we look at. In the beginning was what?
Word.
And the Word was what?
God.
Huh?
The Word was God.
Huh?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word what?
Became flesh.
Became flesh. What? When he said the Word, you know, you read verses like Psalm 119, says that his Word is what? Settled in heaven. So, how can God, yeah, I hope this, how can God have an eternal, excuse me, an eternal plan? When Paul says, my gospel was kept secret, what?
Before the world.
So, where was it before he got it?
In heaven.
Okay. It was settled where? It's settled, right. Okay. So, by the time God gives it to him, it's being revealed to Paul, right? So, what? If it's here, what is it in heaven? What is the Word of God in heaven? What is it when? What is it when Paul gets it?
Word of God.
What is it when he writes it down?
Word of God.
What is it when you get it?
Word of God.
Okay. So, the same way they said, we don't believe you when you say I'm the Son of God. You cannot be equal with God because you're just a man. So we say, you know what? That Word cannot be God because it's just a book. So you detract from the gospel power because you don't believe its origination.
Or the power.
If it's spiritual and it's God, it's God's Word written down. It's God's Word when you believe it. If it's God's Word, does it have power?
Mm-hmm.
Can it save?
Yes.
Yeah.
Works effectually in those that believe.
Can it give you his righteousness?
Yes.
Words of spirit in their life.
See, you say that. We quote that. But there's somewhere between here and your big head,
right,
there's something. There's a...
Right.
You have to believe that.
So the Jews... I'm a little bit mixed up with the Jews and the belief in the Torah. What is the Torah?
It's the first five books.
That's right. That was the first five books from Genesis to Deuteronomy. But for us, the issue now is what Paul is saying to us when he's talking about the gospel. He says, now, did you hear that?
That's me.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
They're going off.
Oh, okay.
They're saying my heart beating right.
Okay, that's fine.
Confused. My heart beating wrong.
So the gospel that's... I'm only writing these down here to say this. The gospel that we believe, when you believe it, now Paul is saying, now it's committed to you. Not for you to hatch an egg on it. It's he says, now you should feel like me.
Well, it's like our expression, once you see the gospel and right division, you can't unsee it. It's become, well, and if you're baptized by Holy Spirit, then it's become a part of you. You can't.
Well,
you can ignore it, but
some.
It's there.
Some, because it only depends on how it works in you.
Right.
Or Galatians 2.
And you have to hear it to believe it.
To believe it.
But believing it can work effectively.
Faith, right. It comes by hearing, and hearing.
By
By the word of God.
Where are we?
Galatians 2. He says, I am 2:20. You can quote, you already know this. I'm crucified what?
With Christ.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet,
not I.
But Christ
lives in me.
And the life
that I live by the faith of God.
The Son of God who did what?
Gave himself for me.
Who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's, he says, now if I realize that, mm-hmm. that it's not me, it's him now, right? Mm-hmm. He says, I live, he's saying that to Peter. Not because this, he's saying this to Peter because Peter was acting in a way that wasn't consistent with the gospel. He said, you put some people now, you're taking away the grace. You're taking away some of the benefits that grace has. See, if grace says, you know what, he's no different than I am. And then you come back and say, you know what, you have to do this. You have to work. He said, no. He said, that's not the gospel. He said, the life I now live, I live because of him, what he did. In chapter 2, chapter 2, look at verse 9. Galatians 2.
What's interesting?
2:5. Let's start there.
Is the counterpart to this in Acts. Peter says, we shall be saved, same as
just like
today.
He said, I perceive that it's the same way. 2:5, he said this, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was what?
Committed unto me,
as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, right? For he that wrought in effectually in me, in Peter, to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, the only reason I went there is because he said they saw the gospel that was what?
Committed
to me. There's no doubt that when he believed, what he believed then became a committal. Did I say that right? When he believed the gospel, you know, it's kind of like this. You don't just believe it and then take it home.
Which is another reason why we're supposed to be Paul's supposed to be a pattern.
Right.
He is. He's supposed to be.
Right, but I mean, it's just another.
Trying to find a prop. But in this situation, where the moment you believe, you know what? I'll take a verse. First Timothy.
You believe, you apply.
First Timothy. Yes. How did I get to that? How did I get on that? First Timothy.
Because it's about necessity.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
And also where it first started was that right there that you just read shows that John was writing to the Jews. His original question about who he was writing to.
Right. First Timothy. And then we're going to get back to Romans. 1 Timothy, he says, verse 9. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, semicolon, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. There he is again. He's using that same word. Committed to my trust. The gospel was committed, right? So salvation. I would say this. Conversion. Then committal. Conversion. Same way with Paul. We are not exempt. Now, you don't have to. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so saved and coming to a knowledge of the truth. That knowledge of the truth, you can't, it works in you and you can't not see it. I mean, it's there and it has its effect.
It should.
Right.
Yeah, that's, and the only thing that's, she said it should have an effect. This is the thing. Again, Paul's reaction was this. Huh?
It's not sure that it is going to have an effect.
Okay. This, where, after you believe for salvation, and Melissa said, it should have an effect. It will have an effect. So the, say it again.
You have to apply faith.
Okay, you have to.
Necessity. That's where the necessity comes in. If you don't believe, you just don't hear the word constantly. If you don't ever apply faith and believe what you hear, it's not going to work for you.
That's okay. Now you just said, you said it's going to have an effect, and I was going to use her verse because the scripture said this. Sometimes the gospel is life unto life. Sometimes it's death unto death. And it depends on how you
receive
it. Some will exercise faith. And they says, I believe as the word of God, I believe it. And they eat it and it works.
Absolutely.
And it, in the end of it is what? The same. Look, this person could be a believer. And he hears it and he does not receive it in faith. What's going to happen? It's going to bring forth death in him. Not because the word gives death. It's because he rejected a life-giving food. Paul calls it nourishing words.
Functional death.
Functional death.
Not
right. Now, unbeliever, same thing. So, last one. Timothy. 2 Timothy. Let me erase this. Okay. 2 Timothy. One eight. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay? He says, whereunto, unto, to the gospel, he says, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. For the gospel. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast. I hear you. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing. What do you think that good thing is?
Gospel.
That gospel.
Yeah.
He said that good thing that was what?
Committed.
There it is again. That was committed unto you. Keep.
Yes.
How?
Holy Ghost.
Which what?
Dwell it in me.
Now, he says, just like me, Paul, or Timothy, he says, I know where I got it. And that gospel made me an apostle.
Amen.
And a teacher. Didn't he say that? And a preacher of the Gentiles. And when you get it, Timothy, guess what it'll make you? It's going to make you an apostle. And a preacher and a teacher. He was an apostle. Now, when you get it, well, in a very loose sense, you would be in loose. Listen, I'm not saying you're an apostle. I'm just saying that. Thank you.
Okay.
So I want somebody. You say we apostles.
Ambassador.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, Paul, you know what Paul said? First, Jesus Christ, he got the gospel committed to him. Then he gave it to Paul, right? Paul, he gives it to Timothy, right? Timothy. All right. You give it. There you go. Put you on the hook. Now, the Lord says, I can quit,
mm-hmm.
but I can't.
Right. Nevertheless.
He said, not my will.
Come on.
Right?
That's right.
Paul says, I can quit, but I can't.
I'm a debtor.
He said, I'm a debtor. Right? Now, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, Timothy, who's ready to quit? He says, Timothy, don't quit. Don't quit. He said, I didn't quit. He said, don't you quit. I know you can, but don't quit. Now, it gets weaker as it goes along, right? Now, by the time we get to Blake, he said, man, I already quit. Matter of fact, I haven't even started. So, somewhere down the line, the gravity of that committal, that commitment was lost. Right? That doesn't mean the word is still not the power of God unto salvation. It just, here's a guy that can't, hypothetically. Hypothetically, he hasn't said, what do you want me to do? He hadn't made that surrender. So it's easy for him to say, you know, I'm not preaching to them. I'm not teaching to them. I'm not doing that. I'm not living that separate life. I'm not suffering that persecution. The word is.
Where does it say in that verse did Paul say Timothy could quit or whatever?
You got 2 Timothy? You still there?
Yeah.
2 Timothy? Start at verse 4. 3. He says, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Why is he saying, reminding him that unfeigned means unwavering, unshaken? He says, I know you believe.
I know your family.
I know your mama.
Come on now.
I know your grandmother.
Come on.
They didn't quit. And he says, you know what? I think you got it too, Timothy. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. I want you to remember to stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Now, that's, we call that in our day, that was ordination. You know, when they ordained you to the ministry, they used, they would come by and they put their hands on you and recommend you to the ministry. So in that day, Paul, when he says the gift that I've given you, and there's speculation on that, but you know what it wasn't? It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because you get the Spirit by faith. But Paul says, I laid my hands on you, Timothy, and you got a gift. And then he says in the previous verses, the following verses, he said, neglect not the what?
Yes.
Gift that is in thee by the laying on of hands. That's in another verse. But he says, stir it up. Stir up this gift. And then he goes on to explain. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit, small s, of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And then he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of what? The testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So whatever this gift was, it will enable Timothy to keep going in the gospel, to endure the persecutions. Now, I know this. When Paul said this, he said, when I wanted to quit, or when I was experiencing the persecutions and I was looking to get out of them, I prayed for the Lord to deliver me. And what he gave me was something that I already had.
My grace.
He said, my grace is sufficient. He had grace to endure all that. And that comes, he says, by the Spirit working with the Word of God to encourage him. That's why he said, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel by the power, he said, be thou not ashamed of the testimony, 8, of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That is, by him honoring his commitment to the gospel, what comes along with that is persecution, afflictions. Now, we're not getting, we were talking to the missionaries Friday, we're not getting afflictions and persecutions like that. Ours come in a different way. It's domestic persecution, you know, where people don't like you, your friends don't like you, they don't want to fellowship with you, they ridicule you for the doctrine that you believe. That kind of, you know, we like to be accepted. We like to, you know, to be a part of the group. We like to fit in, right?
Yes, it's the afflictions.
Say that? Oh, right. Right. But he says, be thou partaker according to the what? Power of God. According to the power of God. That's why he gave him, he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, was the little spirit, the little, that was the new man, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Is, he said, be partaker according to the gospel. In the gospel is already, it contains the power to, for you to endure. Amen. It contains the power for you to persevere the circumstances. The reason why you quit is because, like Melissa said, you either don't respond to it in the affirmative, Or you maybe you haven't heard it. Or you just don't believe it when you do hear it. Now, I said that was the last one. One last Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4 what?
Ephesians 4 17.
Okay.
All right. Paul said this. In my little chapter here, it says, Noah, a new way of thinking. That's what it says right here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes on to finish that up. But he says, what I wanted was, he says, if so be that you've heard him and been taught by him. Now, this is Paul, right? He's writing to the Ephesians. You know they never seen Jesus, right? They never seen him. But he says that you don't walk like other Gentiles walk, because you didn't learn that from Jesus. If you've heard him and been taught by him. And they could say, what are you talking about, Paul? We never seen Jesus. We never heard him. How can Paul say that? How can Paul say that if you've heard him and been taught by him?
Jesus is truth.
Because Paul was telling them what Jesus said.
Because Paul was giving them what? The same word that he received. It was committed to him, and he gave it to the Ephesians. And he said, you know what? You listening to me is just like you heard from him.
So that's after the 3 years in Arabia.
That's, three years, 3 days. It's the moment he get that instruction and give it to them. So when you sit down now and you read, like Johnny said, how can you not do this if he showed up right next to you and said, Johnny, do this? Know why? Because we're walking by sight. You really don't believe when you open that book up, that he's right there. Matter of fact, I want to say you don't even have to open the book up. Guess where he is?
Right there.
He's in you. So all the word does is remind you what he said. That's why Paul said in Corinthians that the Holy Spirit, he's what? He's in there. Know ye not that your body, and you are not you've been bought with a price. Therefore, we say, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So how many saints believe that?
How many saints believe?
How many? Yeah, you know what, I believe it, but I don't always glorify God in my body and in my spirit. I can't say I didn't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Or I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. I know, but somewhere around where Noah Paul told Timothy, he said, you hold fast the faithful word that's committed to you. So somewhere along the line, when I hit that situation, I let the gospel go. Mm-hmm. And like the moment you do,
walking in the vanity of your mind.
You go, what was ordained for life, it becomes death. So the minute you get out, walk in the flesh, you leave these words, you begin to die. Functionally, experientially. Until you get back in there.
So, and walking in the flesh is not just, you know, drinking and carousing and all that kind of stuff. In the flesh is when you start operating out of your own mind or tradition or whatever versus what the Word of God says. So you can be very carnal as a religious person.
As a, I think we talked about the Corinthians who were saved.
Right. Well, one had his father's fire.
Now, of Corinthians, they're saved. They're saved, right? What's indwelling them? The same people he wrote in chapter 6 that know you not what?
The Holy Spirit.
It's in them.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and says, I can't even talk to you like spiritual people. You have the Spirit indwelling in you, Corinthians. He said, but I can't even talk to you like that. Because what I'm telling you, you're not listening. He said, you're not able to bear it. He said, "The what I have to give you, he said, you can't bear it, and neither yet now are you able. He said, you are yet carnal. Save people. Mm-hmm. Speaking in tongues. Gifts. And carnal. He says,
But he never gave up on them.
No. No, he didn't.
Well, I was thinking about that verse where, I think it's in John, where the Lord, and this is talking to the Jews, but there's a principle there. And he says that he gave them the power to become sons of God.
First?
Gave them the power to become the sons of God. Didn't say he... We have to get into the Word.
Okay, I was waiting for that. Yeah.
What the analogy is, yeah.
That's the same thing in the Southern Romans. It says that you love God to become. I mean, it's always there. God loves everybody, but they have to become. It's a level of perfection. You always try to get there. You're always going to be sinning all your life, but you're always going to try and get there. You're never ever going to be perfect, but you got to continue to try to be perfect.
Now, this is we're getting there. We're going step by step. So, if nothing else, we taking away from this. Is that when Paul says that I'm a debtor, right? He says, because once I'm saved, or we'll say conversion, since it's got the same letter, where he said, after conversion, then he said, this gospel was what? Committed to me. He said, that's what makes me a debtor, is to whom much is given,
much is expected.
He says, now, I've become a recipient of abundant grace. He says, I'm a steward of the grace of God, a steward of mysteries and the grace of God. He says, and you are too. You are as committed unto you the word of reconciliation. He said, let a man so account of us as stewards. He said, do you look at that? Do you consider yourself a debtor?
Yeah.
Is a necessity on you? And you feel like that to help?
Right.
Now, I will say this as we close, is this. Do we always do what's right? Of course not. And I, one thing.
How does God see me?
Righteous, right. Completely righteous.
Perfect.
In Christ.
Thank you.
Right. So, yeah, we, so
justified.
Right. Oh. Right. As a matter of fact, you, so much so, you're already seated in heavenly
already.
Places.
Okay.
Now. See, yeah, this is all. That's why you a debtor,
right?
Because look, you can't have a person that you know that God has given them this abundant grace, and what's involved in it,
right.
to walk around and right. and make statements
right.
like that.
Right. Right.
But you do it, you know, in meekness,
right.
and long suffering.
Okay.
You don't whip out the big
right.
stick. So, but that's why he says, to, like he said, he didn't give up on the Corinthians.
Right.
He could have said, you know what?
That's grace.
I'm going to the Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm. He wanted fruit to abound in their account.
So, that's all based on the gospel.
Right.
And when you realize the abundant grace that you have, and you do want to give it out. The last thing I was going to say is this. Even if you're not winning,
right.
they'll say, you know, physician, heal thyself.
Mm-hmm.
If it's so great, why it's not working in you?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know what? This is kind of like a diet. All diets work if you stick to them.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they don't work is because we quit. So you can't say that the diet doesn't work. You can say,
trying to say something.
I gave up on it, right? So now what I'm saying, when we go out and we do speak to people, and it's a shame that sometimes you go in with a grace disclaimer. You can say, well, you know, I know it don't look too good for me, but this is a good gospel. It'll work. It'll free you up. You know, so you know what I'm saying, Johnny? Where then they say, well, if you got to go in with a caveat.
Right. You're already admitting.
You're saying it don't work.
Don't work.
Or it might not. Like, you'll hear a guy and he'll say, I'm just saying this up front, that I'm not guaranteeing that all results will be as I'm saying. So you go in and you go giving the grace caveat to say, you know what, this is the greatest gospel that ever hit the globe. It's the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God to free you up, to sanctify you, to cleanse you. But
you're gonna suffer.
Not that part, even that. But don't look at me. That's why Paul, he says that we are in all things approving ourselves as ministers, that the ministry be not blamed. So you want the best proof that the thing is really working. You know what? If the diet's really working, I want to see you come in. You're like, hey, 50 pounds. I lost 50 pounds on this diet. Like, wow, I'll try that out. But if you go in with grace and you're like, it's not working in you, but yet you want everyone else to receive it and to walk in it. So you can't really separate the gospel from its effects. See, when they begin to learn how it works, then they can see for themselves the details. But that's part of the commit that's committed to you. That's why Paul can tell Timothy to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't quit. He said, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He can go to Timothy and said, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. In the things that you received of me, he said, endure what? Hardness. So, anyway, we're going to stop there. We're going.
That guy shouldn't give
a
caveat.
I said, we go in like
what
that.
What happened is that person that he's telling it to is going to be like, really? You're doing all these things. Don't say Mike's working on you. And then he has to explain
grace. He had to explain grace, right. So, ultimately, you can do nothing against the truth but for it. But wouldn't it be better if we didn't have to go in and explain why it's not working?
Amen.
So, to make sure your personal ministry ineffective,
you become a stumbling block.
Okay.
So, nobody wants to hear that, but that's the truth is, we are sometimes... we're our own enemy. We're our biggest enemy. We're an enemy to the gospel unintentionally. That's why everything that Paul saw that could take away from the gospel, he said, I want no parts of it. He said, look, if this man has got a problem with eating meat, I'm not going to eat meat because I want him to grow up. He said, whatever it is, he looked for the benefits in it. But anyway, let's stop there because it's running out of time.
We've got about Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, it's familiar to us. Starting with the 9th verse. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
That's it. And he's in there to take those spiritual words, relay them to your spiritual man, and bring forth spiritual fruit and life. But we have to be in it. We have to take it in. So let's stop there. Let me pray out. Let me pray.
Go ahead, just a second. It won't take a second. But he ends that chapter. But we have the mind of Christ, and that's right.
Well, we do. All right. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.